comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And we're going to put a fun spotlight on the Southwest tonight. Trust me when I say the show will fly. We'll have a lot of fun. And before we get going, I want to acknowledge that this show is made possible through the generous support of Discount Cab Company, the little green cabs that you see driving people around. They are a Prius. They're driving them around all over the country. So just remember Discount Cab, because they're going viral. We thank them for their ongoing support. And they're the ones that make great shows like this possible. And it is going to be a great show. And we are going to have fun, because I have an amazing in-studio guest who I actually love. Please join me in welcoming Shannon Sarton, founder of Scraps on Scraps. This show to me is all about entrepreneur spirit and composting. Isn't that a great combination, Shannon? I know, it's going to be fun. So what the heck is Scraps on Scraps? Do tell us all.
I love it. I feel like the name might be a little deceiving. So we're actually a residential food waste pickup company. So what we do is, as opposed to having a compost bin in your backyard, you would actually have us come out. We drop off a 5-gallon bucket. You fill it up. In 2 weeks, we'll come and swap it out with a clean one. So you're just basically putting all of your compostable materials, food scraps. There's so many random things around the house that are compostable.
Like curbside composting?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like the same thing that you do for your trash can or your recycling. It's just a third waste bin, essentially.
And what do people, like, how often do you pick it up? I need to know details. You know me.
So we do, right now, we currently service every other week. So it's every 2 weeks we'll come to your house. When we initially started, we actually offered weekly service. But what we realized pretty quickly is that people weren't producing that much food waste. So I went in and did a lot of recon. And what I figured out is that the average family actually produces a basically 5-gallon bucket of food waste every 2 weeks.
Is that a lot or a little bit?
I think it depends.
Sounds like a little bit.
Right. So I think it depends on how you eat. So that's like average American family.
So if you're eating fast food out a lot and throwing the...
Right.
I told you we were going to have fun. If you're throwing the styrofoam in the fast food place, not a lot of food scraps. But we're not assuming that people that are composting are doing that.
Right.
I don't want to be about judgment.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because so going back to what you were saying about food waste is my sister, who's vegan and also my co-founder of this company.
Right. And we have to say her name on the air.
Maura Sarton. She's amazing.
Okay.
So she's a vegan and she eats a ton of raw fruits and veggies, and she'll fill up a 5-gallon bucket.
So there's a lot more scraps for her.
Oh yeah. Like every 2 days, every 2 days she'll have one. And it's so interesting because I think in my house with myself and my daughter, we're average, right? So we'll produce a bucket every 2 weeks, sometimes maybe a little more. But it shifts a lot for people. And our demographics for Scraps and Scraps customers are all over the place.
I wanted to ask you that too. Is it all, you know, the stereotypical greenies? I don't think so.
No, not
I'm
at all.
I'm shocked at how many of my friends compost.
It was really an interesting thing for me because when I set out with this idea, we actually targeted neighborhoods in Tucson and we said, these are the areas that we're going to get the most customers. And it was the exact opposite.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like yuppies with a conscience. Nobody even uses that word anymore.
Right. It's really powerful. And I think for me too, the most powerful things are sometimes I'll go to help with pickups and I'll go to a house that I feel like just totally having a judgmental moment. I'll say,
right. We all do.
This is something that they're actually making a financial sacrifice in order to have this bucket in their house, that it's something that they're making a commitment
to.
And I think that's really powerful. And it says a lot about where we're going as a country in regards to waste.
I hope so, but I have to go back. Like, I always want to sing, you know, let's start at the very beginning. It's just a good place to start. And what makes somebody wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to start a curbside composting service and I'm going to put stuff in buckets? How did you start, not just the concept, but did you literally go knocking on doors? How did you launch it?
So we...
That's huge.
So it's such an interesting thing. So I had moved back here from Seattle in...
Very green city.
Very, very green city. So the beginning of 2013. And when I did, I remember having this moment standing over a trash can and recycle bin with a banana peel.
And saying, what?
I didn't know what to do. And I felt, I can't... This thing happens when you've been composting for long enough. Maura and I call it compost guilt. So it's like... I had this banana peel and I didn't know what to do with it. And my sister and I started talking about it. We talked about this idea and we talked to a couple people and they basically told us that we were crazy and that this idea would never work. So we tabled
it. So then you know you want to do it.
Well, no.
The entrepreneur is like, yeah, you really?
So I wish that had happened, but actually initially I was like, oh, it's not going to work. And I was totally discouraged. And then about 6 months later, I ran into Barbara Ainsworth from Ishkashita.
Right, right.
Who I love and adore. And
the refugee, they do unbelievable things.
Yeah, so their program's so amazing. And it's really tied into this food consciousness idea. And it's this idea of, you know, where does it come from and where does it go? And we had this conversation about it. And she said, do it. She looked at me and I was like,
go, Barbara.
This is it. I'm doing it. And the next day, my sister and I went out and bought some like 5 gallon buckets from Khalil, went to our friends and family, and we're like,
which means you're kind of recycling that. Right.
Well, so we tried that initially, except for the buckets were so full of syrup that when you had them in your house, all that you could smell was cotton candy.
Which is really not good for attracting little critters either.
Right.
That's gross. Okay. So you got the buckets.
So we got the buckets and we just started and we hung up a couple flyers, and then somebody posted a picture of our flyer on Facebook, and then we got our first real customer.
Love it.
Yeah.
Someone called?
Someone emailed. And it was like, we didn't have a website. Like, we didn't have anything together. And I remember Moore and I were so excited. We got in my truck. We both went over there with the bucket, sat down, explained to them how
gave
we were going to do
this. Gave
them a big hug.
Oh my God, you're our first.
Well, we never told her that she was our first customer. And I don't think we've told her to this date. But we always plan, like, we'll always leave her gifts. We leave her special gifts on her bucket. And we'll be like, thanks.
Oh, my gosh. And that started it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I mean, you talk about something that was supposed to be. So there, I still have lots and lots of questions. So what happens then? You come and pick it up. And how much does it cost to fill your bucket every other week? You know, fill your bucket for 2 weeks and then have it picked up.
So it's $13 a month. And
a month?
Yeah, that's it. So it's pretty cheap.
Wow.
I feel like I spend the majority of my life, no matter what I'm doing, making sure that we're breaking down barriers to access. So
I love that. That's why I loved you from hello. It's like, no, that's great. It really matters.
You know, I think that it's important. And I think that for us, and $13 a month in a lot of situations is still a lot of money. So we're trying to figure out ways to potentially create like a Scraps on Scraps sponsorship program, or we really want to be integrating into households that.
So there's no income barriers,
right?
Anybody can do it,
right? Exactly. So, but $13 a month is the price that it's at. It's every other week.
And I know you're a businesswoman, so you figured out that was going to end up, if you keep increasing volume, mm-hmm. that it was a way for you to have a bottom line profit eventually, which is why anybody's in business.
Yeah. Yeah. And our goal is always like job creation. So we have 1.5 employees.
How awesome is that?
Right. It's really exciting. And our goal is always, as we grow, it's not about taking profit back for ourselves. Like, we like to definitely push out as much money to the community as we can and make sure that we're creating jobs and, you know.
So then I was going to be really silly because I knew that you and I could be silly on air. People like to tune into Mrs. Green Silly. And I thought, and are you going to tell the part about where they found you dumping all the food compost in the landfill? Joking. Because there's something really important in terms of another community partner that you do with the compost. You don't just pick it up. Tell that part. It's a very neat part of what I call the cycle of food.
So we... had initially been partnering with another local composting organization, and my sister and I sat down and we really started talking about food equity. And this was when we reached out to the community food bank, and it was just perfect timing. I was working with a local startup program called Thrive that's run through Startup Tucson. And there was the community food bank was there working on a project. And the guy who manages the Lost Mill Pitas Farm was part of this program.
And what's his name?
His name is Chris Mozzarella.
Mozzarella?
Like, yeah. And he is just the sweetest, most amazing man that you will ever meet. Like, so charismatic. And I sent him an email and I just said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Come meet us. So my sister and I met with him and we said, you know, this is what we're looking for. Can you help us? And he immediately was like, oh yeah, of course. And it was just this perfect partnership for us. And we've really been trying to, they have limited space. So we're continually trying to grow and integrate new partners. So anybody who's looking for food waste or has a composting program of their own that goes back to support this mission of food equity. If that's you, you should email us because we're
and
always
you should talk to my friend Jason Tankersley from the Fairfax Companies.
Yeah, we definitely.
I can set that up. I mean, talk about a true prince of the planet. This guy is the real deal and cares about every issue and about his employees and really cares about the planet. So that's a really good partnership that we should pursue and not get lost in having too much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing. But you talked about a complex issue, and I have lots of more fun questions to ask you. It's I had a guy on the show once from Whole Vine, and it's a company that is owned by Kendall Jackson. Mm-hmm. And one of their issues is storage. They're using the grape seeds, the skins and the seeds to make gluten-free products like you wouldn't believe, like cookies and these oils, these very, so you can get like a Chardonnay grapeseed oil to cook with. Yeah. And I mean, unbelievable. But he said with them, like if you're Kendall Jackson, you have too many scraps and composting becomes a true waste management issue because if you have too much, it attracts rodents and on and on. So with a food bank, they would have capacity issues, mm-hmm. right? You have to find more places to take the stuff.
No, absolutely. And I think the other thing too for us, and it was one of the things that I loved about coming back to Tucson as a, I like to call it like an almost adult. I got to find all these amazing
organizations. Which I'm still working on. It's okay. It's really good.
I asked somebody the other day, what's the adult transition line? And I assume that it's dinner parties, like if you have regular
Don't
dinner
ask
parties.
Me. Well, that's part of it. It's civil. That's fun, though. You should come to our dinner parties.
I would love that. But so, you know, for us, it's like there's all these amazing organizations that are doing cool stuff with urban farming and food equity.
Especially in Tucson.
Right?
It's like an
mind blowing.
It's really, it makes me happy. This food desert is rocking it. I mean, you have somebody like Gary Nabhan lives here, right? So he's making really good things happen. Yeah. And just the farmer's markets, the proliferation
so
of farmer's markets. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And I listened to a little bit of your show with Jared McKinley the other day, who
look at what they're doing.
Right?
Edible Baja, Arizona.
Amazing.
They're rocking it in the country. Everybody's looking at them, but let's go back to you pick up the little white bucket.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any pushback? Have neighbors, does everybody like it? And that's one question. And then we have to remember that I asked you this question from the first phone call. How did it start spreading? Was it, let's answer that one first. So you got that first message. You always continue to market. Do referrals start?
We didn't do any marketing. Like my sister and
that
I just
so awesome
threw it out there to the universe. And we're like, oh, maybe it will work. And being a business person, I probably should have wanted to manage that a little more, but I didn't have time at the
time. But I resemble that remark. It's like Mrs. Green's world. Let's start a radio show called Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. Like what? So throw it out to the universe and here we are.
Yeah. So we did that. And I think what happened was we spent a couple months really just family and friends and people that we knew coming on.
Which is a great way to start.
And then my mom had sent me a link to some sort of, it was like a request for business ideas, and it was from Cox, and it said you could win $5,000. And I was like, oh, great. I'm definitely applying. I didn't realize that it was like a Shark Tank. So I get the email that we've been accepted.
You would be great on that.
Oh, right. So I get the email that we were accepted, and I was like, oh man, I don't know anything about pitching. I don't even have a business plan. I don't have numbers. And I started to get really worried. And at the time I had like just started to get engaged with Startup Tucson, and it wasn't on the basis of scraps on scraps. So I went to the person who runs the Startup Tucson, Justin Williams. And I said, oh yeah, I'm doing this pitch thing. And he's like, do you have any questions? And I was like, I think I'm okay. Like, I think I got it. He said, okay, see you tonight. So I get there and I saw my competition. I was like having panic attack in the audience. And I don't think I watched the video and you would never know. So I get up and I pitch, and the judges asked questions, and I was able to answer all of them right away. Like I didn't, I didn't feel like anybody had attacked me or asked me questions I couldn't answer, thankfully. But after that moment, we got a lot of press, which was amazing because we didn't spend any money on marketing until like 2 months ago. So we got a lot of press from that, and a lot of people that were at the event were really interested in it.
Especially in Tucson, mm-hmm. can be such a good thing for having it go just not necessarily reach a tipping point, mm-hmm. but really starting what I call viral organic spread.
Right.
No kidding.
Right. That's and we won $5,000. So I carried that novelty check around with me for quite, it's still in my closet.
Really big. Yeah. Really big check.
Like my daughter would always say, "Mom, but you've got $5,000.
Okay. Don't try to cash it, honey, or we'll be on TV again." It's really great. So that was, I think you did tell me that and I totally forgot. And I'm glad because then I can be surprised again. It's like getting ready for a TEDx talk and you're looking at who else is doing it and you're thinking, "Dear God, please don't make me be after them. Please, please let me be on first," which is what happened to me. Like, you're like, I was totally intimidated by some of the great presenters, which was fine.
But what an honor I learned to get to do
them.
That.
Oh, it was just, wait till the video comes out, and then you'll be able to see if you thought it was nervous. So homeowners associations, are there barriers?
We haven't seen anything happen with that. So the buckets usually don't sit outside. So we use this awesome lid that's like smell tight, water tight. So if you keep our bucket in your house,
how did you find a bucket like that?
Oh, my sister found it, but we went through so many iterations of lids.
That really matters.
It does. It
totally
matters.
Because I don't want it stinking in my backyard.
Honestly, I think that if we hadn't found this lid, I don't know that we would have been successful.
I don't either.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, we literally went through so many lids and it was like, we have a few really, complainy customers, hopefully they're not listening, who will complain about the
lids
all the
time.
Do not send the link. Okay, all right. But when they would open the lids, they'd complain about it, right? And for us, it's not okay. There was something wrong. So when we immediately, as soon as we adopted these lids, people loved it. And they said, "We love the new buckets." We would get notes, we'd get emails. And for us, it was just, that was it. And they're pretty expensive. So we did have to start. We didn't have like a startup
fee. $5,000.
Right. What'd you buy with the $5,000? Buckets.
Buckets.
You know?
It was on my bucket list.
Yeah. So we have a startup fee that's $13 and it essentially covers the cost of bucket and lid.
Right.
And, you know, it's worked out really well for us to have those lids and you can keep them wherever. Like if you had them here, javelinas could knock them over and wouldn't be able to get into it. There wouldn't be a mess.
So it's like a safe lock. I mean, that to me really matters because when I was prepping for the show and I start thinking about the details, it's like, wow, that is really what you talk about guilt-free composting because a lot of people like us don't want to bother with it.
Right.
It's like there's not enough waste and we don't want to start having worms in the house and whatever else you have to do.
Yeah.
So it's just really for people that want to do the right thing and there are thousands of us, it's a really... What a solution.
Right.
Okay, so let's go into the compost crystal ball bucket, okay? It's going to succeed. It's going to get bigger. What are you going to do? I mean, this is a grid issue,
right?
A pickup issue, a manpower issue, a fuel efficiency issue. Who's the brains that's going to figure that all out? Or is there an app for that? There probably is. Like Discount Cab has an app for that. Maybe you could go see them.
So we actually use a system called Root for Me.
I figured there's an app.
Yeah. So we started out with MapQuest. So MapQuest is like a multi-address map generating.
I had no idea.
Well, don't use it because
I'm not going to be in this business.
We realized when we hit a certain amount of addresses, I think it was like 15, that it was no longer accurate. So we'd be driving and all of a sudden it'd be like, "Well, I know this isn't the way.
I've been driving for a half hour and I'm in Marana."
So we found this company Root for Me and I think I did a lot of like Google searches and then we did a free trial and this company is amazing. I need to research more about who they are and what they do, but it's really impacted our ability
and
to
it's
do business.
R-O-U-T-E?
Yeah. R-O-U-T-E.
I mean, and how me. Funny, Root for Me.
Right.
Love it. Okay.
I love it. And it's really positively impacted our ability to do business. So looking at the scalability of this and our growth.
Scalability. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. It's some days I sit down and I just feel overwhelmed because I do have a full-time job and trying to like manage
and
scraps
daughter
on scraps.
And right. a life. Yeah.
It's a lot, but I recognize that there's something amazing at work because it's definitely grown at a level that's sustainable for us. So as we grow, we adapt something new or, you know, we add a pickup day or we shift the way that we're doing things. And, I think that if it were to all happen at once, it would be too much, right? So if we had gone from zero to 300 customers overnight, I don't think we couldn't have handled it. We would have failed.
Right.
But it's been growing steadily at a rate that's
incremental growth that you can learn from the mistakes and all that.
Yeah.
Do you tell people about, I will never forget this, when I was early on the green journey and I was making a presentation somewhere and saying, I'm not an expert on anything except interviewing people. I'm really good at that. And this person was talking about composting and, you know, then everybody had coffee or wine afterwards. And someone said, well, I have this absolutely gorgeous wool sweater and it's got holes in it. So I don't know if I want to donate that. And she said, put it in your compost. And I was like, what? And the more you learn, there's a lot you can put in your compost. If it's, you know, it was real wool from it, you know, it wasn't a synthetic.
Yeah.
So what do you tell customers to educate them? Do you have a do put this in and don't put this in?
So we have
following?
Yeah. So we have this great list. It's called a compost resource guide. So there's
of course it is. So compost resource guide.
So we've got things. We basically did a doc. It's a three level document. So you've got what goes in the compost, what goes in the recycle, and what goes in the trash. Because our goal is not just to promote you to compost, but it's also to say, where can you divide your waste totally? So it is interesting. Like cotton balls are compostable. There's all these like little things.
Toilet paper rolls.
Right.
Are they?
I
don't know. I know
they
you can recycle them, but people don't think that. And paper towel rolls.
Right.
And then I was telling that to somebody that they said, well, you know, they have the rolls now for toilet paper without the cardboard in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know, but most people don't buy those. So it's great to recycle your toilet paper rolls because most people I know use them.
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about this concept of like what most people are doing, because going back to what you asked about pushback. So we have gotten a lot of pushback from like we'll be set up at a farmer's market when people will come up and say, well, why aren't you encouraging people to compost in their backyard? And for me, that's really this like issue of we shouldn't drive, but not everybody's going to ride a bicycle, you know?
Give me a break.
Right. And it's about, again, talking about these barriers to access. If you want people to start being green, if you want to encourage people and empower them to live a greener lifestyle, we have to make it a little bit easier. So something like Scraps on Scraps is a great system for that, right? It's like, I don't have to think about composting in my backyard. I don't have to turn a compost pile. I don't have to worry about what's going in it. I just have to worry about what I'm putting in my bucket. Europe's been doing it for years. You know, they sort recycling.
Totally. I mean, sometimes I go to a city and I'm looking like deer in the headlights and there's five bins and I'm thinking, I have no idea where I'm supposed to put this. And it's, you know, glass and paper and cardboard and all this stuff.
Well, San Francisco is like the mecca for that. I was just in San Francisco last weekend and every time I'm there, my sister and I are taking pictures of all
the things that you take pictures of now, right? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we went back to that, the pushback. So people just say that I can't believe it. Because to me, when you talk about the green element, it really is good for Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. It's good for the soil. It's good to replenish the soil. And the other piece of it is food waste is one of the biggest issues facing our country.
Right.
It's huge. So we keep on having people and we keep on populating cities. So every little bit we can do to minimize what ends up in the landfills is it's a taxpayer's dream.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's really a good idea.
I think that it is really important too. So in so many of the laws and other states and other cities are really shifting towards that. And I think I imagine that in the next 10 to 15 years, across the nation.
It's going to be like mandatory composting?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely think that it will.
Well, look at how it's evolved in Tucson. We have a new partner, the city of Tucson. I love their Do More Blue campaign. I love the whole thing that the Tucson Clean and Beautiful does about toxic waste disposal. Right. Don't put your paint cans in the garbage. Yeah. So there's really good partners in this city making it happen. But you think about the food waste, and I'll be honest, it's something that most of my friends and I don't want to deal with. If you travel, if you have two people, it's like there's a really simple solution for $13. So how does somebody do it? Do they, is it an online format?
Yeah. So we have a website that's very simple. It needs to be updated, but it works. So you go on, you fill out a form.
Simple is good.
Simple is very
scraps
good.
Scraps on scraps.com.
You go on, you fill it out. It'll prompt you to link over to PayPal and put your credit card information through there.
Secure.
Sets up a reoccurring payment, or you can pay us monthly. I think we also take checks for 6 to 12 months at a time.
Too. Yeah, that's not your end of the business, I can tell. You don't
have to, you I think it's supposed to be. That's the bad part. It's just that I've been a little disconnected.
Who's doing the books?
But that was our other goal, is we didn't want to preclude anybody from signing up. So if you look at this and you say, I maybe want to do this, but I don't want to make a 6-month commitment, or I don't want to make a 12-month commitment. We're very flexible. And we also recognize one of the first things we learned is that there's a lot of people that don't like to do online transactions. So initially we said PayPal only. And then we said, well, all of my mom and dad's friends said, we just want to write you a check. We're like, okay, any money is good money. So we'll take it.
When I see people writing a check in the grocery store, it's not the best side of me. I'm like, what are you doing?
I had to write one yesterday because
I still write checks. I have to write checks. I keep my checkbook with me. Yeah. But there are people that, you know, they're finished checking out. We're not talking about that now. And like, then they decide they're going to pay by check and go. But it's important to me. What you're saying is there's a demographic there.
Right.
And there's people that are not willing. My friend Molly says when you charge something, you're giving a piece of your money to a third party that mm-hmm. can stay in your own business mm-hmm. because you don't have to pay the fees. So there's, you know, there are very valid reasons. I don't want to be down on the check writers.
Right. No.
At all.
In our thing,
which
is
I sounded like.
It's always about barriers to access.
Like barriers to access. I love that.
If there's some issue with something that would make you not want to sign up for Scraps on Scraps or not compost, let me know. We'll fix it. We'll make it so that then it is easy to access for you, because that's our goal. You know, like we talked about it, it shouldn't be difficult to be green. It shouldn't cost more to be green.
I know. Don't care what Kermit said. It's easy being green. There are so many little habits you can change that it really isn't hard. What do you do if somebody lives far away? And I had to ask that, but someone lives like really far, like if they're 27 miles in the county. Do you have to say no sometimes and say, we'll get there, or stay on the list, or what do you do?
So initially, that's what we've kind of done, is we've waited for people to cluster in certain areas, especially ones that are far out.
Great.
But we have customers in Vail. We have customers on the far, far southwest side. And we have customers way further up in Oro Valley.
So you're doing that. Mm-hmm. That's great. And waiting for clusters. And then the information spreads and on and on. Mm-hmm. So I told you that this, before you know it, we would blink and we would get Mr. Engineer over here giving us the 2-minute warning. So I want to repeat. It's Scraps on Scraps. This is Shannon Sarton. She is obviously amazing. And here's what I think is going to happen. Here's Mrs. Green's crystal ball. You will sit here someday and write Mrs. Green's World a big check because you got bought out by some big dog that's going to take care, that's going to take your model. I hope that happens for you, because it's really important what you're doing. And like you, I love this barriers to access. You've removed it. Everybody, I just hope that you had as much fun listening as I had being here. And I want to tell you the website again, Scraps on Scrap. Scraps, excuse me, I'm getting all choked up here. And that next week, we are going to have a show, which I put up here. The next ETE is, the Mrs. Green's World show. Philip Vanini. This is going to be so cool, Shannon. It's the show. He did a year study of off-gridders, people that went totally off the grid. And I mean, I've been looking into it.
That is awesome.
It's not always a happy ending. Believe me, these people think they're going to go out there and live. I'm not going off the grid. I can tell you that. If it doesn't involve a flush toilet, you don't need to invite Mrs. Green. The next Down to Earth show is the 20th, and it's the Green Divas radio station. They're based in New Jersey. They've asked Mrs. Green's World to be a part of their program. So you are delightful. I can't wait to see what happens and stay connected. Everybody, thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World, and make it a great green access, barriers to access removed week. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.